My name is Victor Kubik. I'm president of the United Church of God. And my wife and I and an entourage of people are here in Sri Lanka, in the country of Sri Lanka, in the city of Colombo. And right now I'm at the home of Rohan Da Silva and his wife Stephanie. And we are having a very, very enjoyable time visiting with them. And I thought we would share some of our experiences and some of the stories from his life in Sri Lanka. Welcome, Rohan.
Well, welcome to Sri Lanka. Thanks for being here, and we're super excited to have you here.
Well, we're very excited to be here. Rohan Da Silva is a member of the United Church of God here with the congregation that runs about 40 to 50 people or so, I understand, here in Colombo. And he works for a radio station.
That's right. Radio, I've been in radio for about 11 years. I started working in 2007. And I started as an overnight presenter doing a graveyard shift at a local radio station. Later on, I was exposed to different programs and had the chance to move to a few other stations where I worked at and was given different chances at doing different shows. What I do right now is I do an evening drive time show between 4 and 7 in the evening. And I also program music for the same station, so I'm also a music controller now.
Well, that's terrific. I enjoy the world of radio. It just seems interesting. So do you, what types of other programming do you do? You do mostly music, you said?
Mostly music. Radio in Sri Lanka is pretty much the same across, you know, many stations. There's different formats and different types of music that different radio stations play. But it's a mix of both music and talk. Mm-hmm. Drive time radio is targeted at people traveling to and back from work. So an evening drive time show is typically for people driving back. And what we do is we play a good mix of hits. And we also talk about, you know, relevant things. We try to keep people entertained, keep them in a happy mood, help them overcome traffic, and everyone on the road is trying to get on their nerves.
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about the church here in Colombo and the makeup of it and so forth.
Yeah, well, the United Church of God here in Sri Lanka has about 35 or so members. We have brethren who visit frequently when it comes to holy days. We have some local brethren who live in different parts of the world, in England, in the United States, and in Australia. So come a feast or a holy day, sometimes we may have maybe 40 to 50 people. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have a lot of overseas visitors.
One thing here, you might notice the sound of rain in the background. We had Rohan and his wife for a leadership training seminar in Cincinnati and didn't do the podcast there in our soundproof studio. Now here we are in his home with rain falling. Well, Rohan, the church here in Colombo has quite a reputation around the world. We have heard of the people, about their faith, very similar in fashion to what the Apostle Paul said about the people in Rome. He said, your faith is spoken around the world, and that is very true about the people here. We have had people come here for Feast of Tabernacles, we have people come here for United Youth Camps, and so forth, and the reports that have come back have always been very positive about the hospitable, faithful people here in Sri Lanka.
The Sri Lankan brethren have developed a liking to make things happen. You know, Sri Lankans have had their faith tested. I think a lot of them, majority of them, have come on to be strong believers, and they want to push the work forward. They want to get more involved. They want to do more things. Even the younger people have an interest in learning more. Also, the Sri Lankans love having visitors from overseas. We enjoy getting to know more people. The Sri Lankans are very hospitable. We like to make noise, but in a good way. Uh-huh. You know, the sound of happiness is something that you will hear at the feast. They love music. The Sri Lankans are very musical, so we're not going to let you be bored for too long if you come over and visit. Sri Lankans also gather. I think a majority, about 90% of our congregation, gathers every Friday night. Mm-hmm. And we have Sabbath dinner.
I'd like to hear about that because my wife has just sent me a note here right now saying, talk about the Friday night dinner tradition.
Yeah, the Friday night dinner tradition is something that we've been doing for quite a while. It started with a few families getting together. And then we all decided, hey, why are just one or two families getting together? Let's just all get together. And so, yeah, everyone, I think most of the congregation lives reasonably close to one another. So we have Sabbath gatherings, and for members who live further away, we organize maybe every 1 to 2 months so that we can go make a visit to their home and go keep the Sabbath with them. That takes a little bit more work. Sometimes you have to organize transportation and things like that. But we've worked on that more often so that nobody's left out. But the fellowship is wonderful, and we have a tradition where the host of each home comes up with a study that they will share with everyone gathering. And everyone's welcome to chip in. And, you know, it's an open forum discussion. One person basically conducts the study, and everybody else voices their opinion, shares scriptures about the subject. We've recently started a men's club with the help of our pastor, Mr. Schreiber. A ladies' club, his wife, Mrs. Schreiber, has organized that, and that's got people talking, asking questions. We've groomed 2 young speakers who spoke at the feast, and amazing what we learned, I mean, from these individuals. So it's truly amazing. The work is growing, and the brethren are just excited as ever.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, Rohan, earlier you said that there were some amazing stories of faith here, the people in Sri Lanka. Now, you, before we were on this program, you told me about your instance about how God has blessed you with the kind of work that you have in a profession that really requires 24/7, around-the-clock care, and oftentimes very difficult to take time off of the Sabbath. Can you maybe share one of your stories?
Yeah, well, the way I got the job itself was a bit of a miracle. I was a young man of about 19 years. I quit school early, was rebellious, actually wanted to leave school, pick up a guitar and be a rock star. I later learned that that was not going to happen. I have this weakness where I can't play and sing at the same time. And with all of those issues, I somehow thought that I could make it, but that was not to be. I'm quite thankful for that right now. I was introduced to radio after I had gone for several interviews at other places. I worked at a bank for about 2 weeks, and I lost my job because of the Sabbath. Through a member of the church, Miss Carol Prince, she introduced me to a friend because I had given her one of my resumes. She's a lady that knows a lot of influential people, and she said that she would help me with the job. So I gave her one of my resumes, and she gave me a call a couple of days later and told me, listen, I've got a friend at this radio station, and he's looking for, you know, young men who want to be radio presenters. So I went to the interview, and before going to the interview, I actually had given up. You know, I'd been rejected from so many interviews in the past, and I thought, you know, this is not going to be any different. Didn't have as much faith as I do now. I was quite young and quite silly. So I went to this interview, and I did my voice test. I didn't talk much. And I didn't even tell him about, you know, my Sabbath commitments and things like that, because I didn't think that I would get the job. And, you know, he said, you know, we'll call you. I expected never to get the call. But on my way back home, just as I was getting close to home, I get this call from the guy that interviewed me and says, congratulations, Rohan, you've got the job. And I was speechless for a couple of seconds. And then he says, can you come tomorrow? Now, this was a Friday. Mm-hmm. All right, this is a Friday morning, might have been about 11 o'clock in the morning on a Friday, and he tells me, can you come here by 9 tomorrow, which was during Sabbath. So I had to explain to him over the phone. I told him, listen, I didn't tell you this before, but I have, you know, religious belief where we do not work on the Sabbath. And he asked me a couple of questions. He's like, I've never heard of any Christian that does such a thing. I mean, normal Christians, that's what he said, go to church on Sunday, and if they have to work, they work. I said, well, it's kind of different with me, and I cannot break this commitment. This is something that I believe in very strongly and have done so from a very young age, and I don't intend on changing it. He had already told his boss that he was going to hire me, and the owner of this particular radio station, or group of radio stations, is known to be a bit of a tyrant, I later found out. And, you know, I was wondering why he said, I have told my boss, I cannot tell him no. I was thinking, why not? You know, he could always walk up and tell him it didn't work out. I found out that that would have cost him his job. So that worked in my favor. God was using all kinds of people to help me get employed. and he asks me, what time can you make it tomorrow? You know, I said, well, anytime after sunset will be fine. And he said, okay, come by midnight. So I go in, and it was a very eventful day. Sri Lanka and Australia were playing a cricket match. It was a Cricket World Cup final in the year 2007. The match was being played in the West Indies. And so it's daytime in that part of the world when it's night here. So everyone was up watching the game, and people at the radio stations were keeping everyone updated with scores and things like that. Sri Lanka were also in the middle of a civil war with a separatist terrorist organization. And this terrorist group decided to attack Colombo on this very day. And a bit of a scary experience. I saw the lights in the city go out. They used World War II fighter planes to attack Colombo, and they bombed one of the refineries, the oil refineries, and then the army retaliated by firing mortar missiles at them. Some of the people watching the games at live screenings thought those were fireworks, and they were celebrating. Little did they know that it was a war going on. I mean, they did know there was a war in the country, but they thought that these were fireworks. It's amazing how, you know, weapons of destruction can look so pretty in the night. But an eventful day, and the next thing you know, I get a call the following Monday from my boss, and he says, okay, come on over, I'm going to keep training you. And God has really blessed me that day.
Well, that's wonderful. What a testimonial. That's just a great, great story. Well, one thing I'd like to know too is about just about your laws of tolerance and freedom of religion, freedom of assembly. How is it in Sri Lanka for you?
Well, Sri Lanka recognizes freedom of religion. Everybody is free to practice their own religion in Sri Lanka. In terms of voicing your religious beliefs, there aren't heavy restrictions, but there are certain things that you could consider frowned upon. Mm-hmm. For example, with my job in the media, I have been asked by management not to promote my religious beliefs. I did come back after the feast and said that I had gone to the feast. I said, according to my beliefs, this is an annual ordinance that I attended. But that was about it. I wasn't able to explain what it was about and things like that.
Well, you know, I would, if I was a listener and I heard about something going to the feast, I might be very, very curious about that feast. Anyway, yeah. Go ahead.
The story comes up. My co-host was trying to tease me, saying that I had gone on a long holiday. I said, it wasn't a holiday, it was a spiritual retreat, you know, a feast, an ordinance, and this is based on my beliefs. Now, if anyone heard that and wanted to call me and ask me, they would have been free to do so. And then I could, you know, talk to them over the phone or something like that. But over the airwaves, it's not illegal, but it is frowned upon. There are other church organizations that have run religious programs in the country, and I don't think they've had any issues. Sri Lanka does have an anti-conversion bill that prohibits anyone from converting someone to a religion by force or by offering financial support. So those are the two things that are taboo when it comes to religion. But I think you can speak your religion. You can talk to people as long as they are willing to talk to you. We have a fair number of Jehovah's Witnesses in the country that will go from house to house, and they're allowed to do that to a great extent. Inconveniencing the public is something that will be frowned upon once again. There are extremists who will make moves against you if you do so, even though you do have the right. And as a result of that, we have a lot of the media organizations not wanting to get involved in airing religious programs. So we've spoken about, you know, getting Beyond Today on the radio. And you know, other Church of God groups have tried to get their programs on, but there have been a number of challenges. When they listen to some of the programs, some of the individuals who belong to other faiths don't fancy airing it, especially programs against common beliefs like Christmas and other such things. Idol worship is something that's very common here in Sri Lanka.
Mm.
We have a majority of Buddhist people.
Is Buddhism the number one religion?
Number one religion in terms of population. There is a growing number of Islamic people. in Sri Lanka, two Islamic groups, Malays and Moors. There are also a fair number of Hindus, particularly in the northeast and central country.
Mm-hmm.
We have a high number of Roman Catholics. I think the Roman Catholic population is the highest in terms of mainstream Christianity. Yeah. We have other Christian denominations like Born-Agains, Anglicans, Presbyterians, Baptists, and so on and so forth. So a number of religions, but I think you could put all the other religions together and they wouldn't be able to outnumber the amount of Buddhists that we actually have in our country.
We've been talking to Rohan Da Silva. It's just been marvelous to meet you and your wife. We want to thank you very much for joining us here on Inside United. It's been wonderful to talk to you and to share your thoughts, your personal thoughts, the thoughts of the congregation here. So thank you for joining us on Inside United. Come back and hear us again soon.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.